Tonight's lesson is going to be on who is in heaven and who is not. So it's very important that we have, this is my Bible, you can't see, but that you go by the word of Yahweh and not but what men say. And so we always know that the target is always the word of Yahweh. So our adversary said, did God say? So his first attack is, do you want to steal something? You want to do this? No, he said, did God say, thou shalt not eat of the tree? And so his word is so important. It's our foundation. So we have been taught that there's certain people in heaven. So I'm going to show you what Christians are teaching right now. And then we're going to see what this book says, what his word says. Here is the common book of prayer. It's called a death prayer. This is done about 1500s, 1600s. Anglican Church did this. Almighty God, with whom still lives the spirits of those who die in the Lord, whatever that means, no scripture on that, and with whom the souls of the faithful are in joy and felicity. So this is somebody who's dead, but they're saying their soul is happy and is happy. We give you heartfelt thanks for the good examples of all your servants who, having finished their course in faith, now find rest and refreshment. Refreshment, you know. And one thing, too, is when they say rest in peace, what has that got to do with somebody who's dead? You know, I mean, is there an option? I mean, what kind of ridiculous RIP, rest in peace?
Never thought.
I have no idea what that means. May we, with all who have died in the true faith of our holy name, have perfect fulfillment and bliss in your eternal and everlasting glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay. Now you got absent from the body, present with the Lord. This is John MacArthur, very famous, and this is also Kenneth Copeland. You know, the Copeland Ministries will say, when you die, your spirit leaves your body and goes immediately to heaven. To be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. And John MacArthur says, if you are a Christian, someone trusting Christ alone for your salvation, Scripture promises that the moment you leave this life, you go to heaven. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. The righteous man who dies is taken away from evil. He enters into peace. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. They may rest their labors. This is Revelation 14. So out of context, because in the book of Revelation, people are being destroyed. One third of the population are being destroyed. And it's saying, you know, when the third woe comes, blessed are the dead. Because you have no idea what's coming next. It's the dead not that was done before tribulation, not before the revelation, is the people who have died so far. Because if you think that was bad... And that's it, that they may rest from their labors. Indeed, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now here is Andrew Womack. And so this, they were using, Second Corinthians 5 on, absent from the body, present with the Lord, which that's not what it says, but here's, comfort in eternity, Andrew Womack. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. One thing, this is Luke 16. This is a parable, but somebody's going to make it literal.
Yeah.
This story clearly teaches that there is life after death. It shows that there is no soul sleep where our souls are awaiting the resurrection of our bodies, but we go into a conscious eternity immediately. It also shows that there are only two destinations possible after death. We either go to a place of torment for the wicked or a place of blessing for the righteous. There is no limbo or purgatory, and there is no second chance, illustrating the finality of our eternal destiny once we die. That is what is taught. But I did find one or two organizations that actually knew the truth. But we're going to see what the book says. If, like they said, everybody is in heaven who has died, who is good, we're going to see if they're up there. Because we're going to go to heaven in Revelation chapter 4 and 5. And it's going to show us who's there and who's not there.
Take a look.
So we first go to, let's get a picture of who is in heaven. Let's go to Psalms 11:4, what Yahweh has said about that. And by the way, there are tons of people who have died and gone to heaven and tells us great stories of what is there. And they come back and tell us, and there's tons of people who have gone to hell and come back and tell us what's there. Yeah. Keith Hagen has done it multiple times. Jesse Duplantis has done it. You know, and you're going to find it's all false, according to the word of Yahweh. So what does the word of Yahweh actually say? Psalms 11, verse 4. Yahweh is in his holy temple. That's for Yahweh in the heavens is his throne. His eyes behold, his eyelashes test the sons of men. So we see in heaven, what do we see in heaven? For Yahweh in the heaven is his throne. So Yahweh's in the heavens. 103:19 Psalms. So one point, does it mention Yahushua in the Old Covenant? No, it does not.
It's 582, Isaiah.
Yeah, 103:19. So we got to look at who is there and who is not there. 103:19, that he looked down out of his holy height, Yahweh from the heavens upon the earth directed his gaze. Okay, there's Yahweh again in the heavens. Let's go to Isaiah 6, chapter 6, verses 1. Keep getting a glance. So three places we've gone is Yahweh's in the thrones. Let's see here. Isaiah 6, 1 through 3. That's page 653. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw my Lord sitting upon a throne. There we go. High and lifted up, and his skirt did fill the temple. Seraphims were standing above him, six wings several had each one. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. So what are we seeing so far in heaven? There is Yahweh, and there are seraphims. 3, and they continued crying out one to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is Yahweh of hosts. The fullness of the whole earth is your glory. Okay, so we've got those are the seraphims or cherubims will be called also, and Yahweh. Now we go to 2 Corinthians 12. There's a man who's going to go to heaven, or into the third heaven, peer into the third heavens. And it could be the Apostle Paul, could not be, it doesn't say. To be boasting...
I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians what?
12, verse 1. To be boasted is needful, it is not indeed profitable, yet will I come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I know not or out of the body I know not, Yahweh knoweth, such the one as this caught away as far as what? The third heaven. And I know such a man as this, whether in the body or apart from the body, I know not, Yahweh knoweth, how that he was caught away into paradise and heard unspeakable things which is not allowed for a man to utter. Okay, that's it. It just says he saw it. If anybody's going to get a revelation, it would have been the Apostle Paul who would have told us all about heaven. But we are going to see the Apostle John does tell us what he's on that. So far, there's no vision. We got Yahweh, we got seraphims, and we know there's messengers. So we know messengers, so they must be there too. And we're going to see.
Whom shall I send? That's Isaiah 6:8. Oh, no. Sorry.
Yeah, that was Isaiah. Yeah, but there are messengers, and we're going to see that in Revelations chapter 1. We're going to see this book. It's important for the viewers to have a foundation when somebody says, you know, when somebody dies, they're in the heaven. You got to have a foundation. You're going to have to show people. No, that's not the case at all. And here's the foundation for it. Revelations 1, we're going to see who's speaking. The revelation, or which means unveiling of Yahushua Mashiach, which Yahweh gave to him to point out unto his servants the thing which must needs come to pass with speed. And he showed them by signs, sending through his messenger unto his servant, who?
John.
And Yohanan is actually the name. Three syllables instead of one syllable. J-O would be H-O, Yo, for Yahweh. Hana means favor. And that where you see the H-A-A-N. And so we look at that. And who bear witnesses to the word of God and the witness of Yahushua Mashiach, whatsoever things he saw. So this is the vision that was given to John, chapter 4, verse 1. Now we're going to go through it. We're going to see here who is in the heavens and who is not in the heavens. And so it's good for us to pay attention. After these things, I saw, and you're going to see this word, I saw over and over, this phrase, I saw over and over again. After these things I saw, and lo, a door set open in heaven. This is just great. And so he's going to see who's what's going on here. Now, if human beings are going to be there, they're going to be seen. It'd be Moses, Elijah, Abraham, you know, everybody's going to be there. And the first voice which I heard as of a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up hither, and I will point out to thee the things which must need come to pass. After these things, straightway I came to be in Ruach, and lo, a throne stood in the heaven, and upon the throne one sitting. And we're going to see in these thrones, they're always sitting. There's going to be one entity who is standing, which is going to be the Lamb. Yeah, very important. Everybody else is at peace, but the Lamb is not going to be at peace. A throne stood in heaven. Upon the throne was one sitting, and he that was sitting in like appearance to a jasper stone and a sardius, and there was a rainbow round about the throne like an appearance unto an emerald. And so it's interesting, it never identifies. It's going to identify it in verse 11. Let's look at 11. Now, who is this? Well, you assume it's Yahweh. But it's not the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. No existence whatsoever in here. But here it is. Worthy art thou, O Yahweh, our Elohim, to receive the glory and the honor and the power. Okay, so it identifies who's sitting on this throne, which is Yahweh. Let's go back to 4. Really important, because you're never going to see a form. And so one thing we realize, when Stephen had his vision being stoned, he saw the glory of Yahweh, because Yahweh is not a man, doesn't have a form. And what else did he see besides, did he see the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Mm-hmm. And then did he see Abraham, Elijah?
John the Baptist, who just died, was in heaven.
Yeah, you would have seen all these hosts in heaven, but what did he see? He saw the glory of Yahweh and somebody standing next to Yahweh. Who was that?
Yahushua.
Okay, they're standing again. Interesting. But there's only two. Not Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And it's the same vision we're going to see here. And round about the throne was 24 thrones. Okay, new information coming out. There's not been
any.
Back and four. We're going to be reading chapter 4 and 5. Chapter 4, verse 4. And round about the throne were 24 thrones. And upon the thrones, 24 elders doing what?
Sitting.
Okay, so now new characters. We got 24 entities. What are they? It doesn't say. Elders, clothed in white garments, and upon their head crowns of gold. And out of the throne are coming forth lightning and voices and thunderings. And there are seven torches of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven ruachs of Yahweh. And what are these? And we're going to see those are messengers, celestial messengers. And before the throne as a glassy sea like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne, four living creatures full of eyes. Here comes our cherubim. So now we've got Yahweh, we've got 24 elders sitting, Yahweh sitting, and then we see these four creatures, before and behind, and living, and the first living creature is like unto a lion, the second living creature is like unto a calf, the third living creature hath the face of a man, and the fourth living creature is like unto a flying eagle, and the four living creatures, each one of them having severally six wings, so we have to go back to Isaiah 6 again, round about and within, full of eyes, and they cease not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
No,
it doesn't say that. It is Yahweh Almighty. That also shows us, you know, who is on the throne. Because we know Yahushua, or the Lamb, has not been brought forth yet. Holy, 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 Yahweh of hosts, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is coming. And whensoever the living creatures shall give glory and honor and thanksgiving unto him that sitteth upon the throne, which is Yahweh, and upon him that liveth unto the ages of ages, the 24 elders will fall down before him that sitteth upon the throne. So these obviously are submitted below...
Subjection.
Below Yahweh. And do homage unto him that liveth upon, unto the ages of ages, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Worthy art thou, O Lord, and our Elohim, to receive the glory and the honor and the power, because thou didst create all things. Well, I thought Jesus created all things. No, because thou didst create all things, and by reason of thy will they were and were created. Chapter 4 is done. Okay. What we're missing is, what we're going to find out, is messengers and also the Lamb, which is Christ. They're coming in chapter 5. But we see no men whatsoever.
The elders.
Well, the elder, we don't know what they are. It just says 24 elders. Elders just means old. You know? What are they? We don't know. And I saw upon the right hand of him that was sitting upon the throne, who is Yahweh, a scroll written within and on the back, sealed up with seven seals, and I saw a mighty messenger proclaiming with a loud voice.
There's a messenger.
Okay, first mention of a messenger in the heavens. Who is worthy to open the scroll and to unloosen the seals thereof? And no one was able in heaven or on earth or under the earth to open the scrolls or to look thereof. That includes the 24 elders. And that includes the cherubims who are there.
And the seven spirits.
Cherubim, yeah. Same as a seraphim?
Yeah.
Okay.
Different things. It doesn't say cherubims up here. And I began to weep much because no one worthy was found to open the scroll or to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, Do not weep. Lo, the lion, that is of the tribe of Judah. This is great. Never says Yahushua, but it's the lion, it's the lamb, the lion, the tribe of Judah. The root of David. This is a man. You know, you have to be a man to be of the tribe of Judah. The root of David hath overcome to open the scroll and the seven seals thereof. And I saw in the midst of the throne and out of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders. So here's heaven. A lamb standing, see that's really neat, standing. Everybody else is sitting. Showing that it had been slain. Very important, everybody's going to say he, but the pronoun is it, because what is a lamb, male or female? It's neuter. Because it doesn't say if it's a ewe or a ram, it just says lamb. So that's a correct it. Has been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the spears or the ruachs of Elohim sent forth into all the earth. So here we come back to these seven spirits, which are messengers, and obviously very special messengers, which are going to open the seven seals. And that goes through the rest of the book. And he came and at once took it out of the right hand of him that was sitting upon the throne. And when he took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Okay, well, that's great.
Subjection.
Yeah, there is submission that he is above all of them, his position. Having each one a harp and bowls of gold full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sing a new song, saying, Worthy art thou to take the scroll and to open the seals thereof, because thou wast slain, and didst redeem unto Yahweh by thy blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and did make them unto our Elohim a kingdom and priests, and they reigned on the earth. These are men. All right, that he delivered. Not they're not in heaven, but that's why he's getting to open up the scroll. And I saw and heard a voice of many messengers, here we go, in heaven, round about the throne of the living creatures and the elders, and we got messengers, we got Yahweh, we got 24 elders, and we have cherubim. This is what's in heaven. And we have one human.
And the spirits.
Yeah, the seven spirits, but those are messengers. But they have been distinguished by themselves. But those are the seven messengers. And we have one human, not billions of humans. Otherwise, it would be billions of humans by the time this was written. Round the throne, and the number of them were myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that hath been slain to receive the power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven and upon the earth and under the earth and upon the sea and all the things then heard I saying unto him that sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb, two entities who are the high, Yahweh and his Christ, be the blessing and the honor and the glory and the dominion unto the age of ages. And the four living creatures continued saying, Amen. And the elders fell down and did homage. This is in who's in heaven. No mention whatsoever of mankind. And why? Because we told you they're not there. All through this whole book, they're not there. And so now we're going to go see. Where are they then? These are called sons of Adam, which we are. We're sons of Adam. And Adam means dirt. These are dirt people. Adama means ground. So A-D-A-M-A-H is ground. So Adam was taken from the Adama. And so very simply, regardless of what these other people teach, we go back to Genesis 3. I mean, it's no brainer.
It said little dirt man.
Yeah. From dust thou art, and to what? Dust thou shalt return. I mean, any questions? That's 3:19. Genesis 3:19. We all know this, and you have to say, just read the book. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread until thou return to the ground. And that's Adama. Because where from has thou... Was thou taken? For dust thou art, and in dust shalt thou return.
Can't be.
Here's who's in heaven. Here's who's not. Where are all men who have died?
Dirt.
In the dirt. They've returned to dust. Let's go to, they've gone to a place called Sheol, which is not identified until Genesis 37. Now, where is Sheol? So where are they? It's called Sheol. So what people want to believe, and what it, compared to what is actually written, is called confirmation bias. And what that means is, I don't want to be in the dirt. I want to be in heaven. So I'm going to try to find a verse that does that for me. That's called confirmation bias. So I'm looking for a verse, another verse is maybe I want to fornicate. All right? So I'm going to try to find a verse that allows me to fornicate.
No righteous, none.
Yeah, there's no, yeah, and on and on and on, and you'll find them. But 37, this is Jacob.
What verse?
Yeah, chapter 37, verse 33. First usage of the Hebrew word Sheol. There's 60-some usages, which you can go through the Old Testament, to find out where every human being, what happens to every human being when they die. They go to Sheol. So this is Jacob. His name is actually Jacob. you know, Joseph is gone. They sold Joseph, and so we're at the end of the story. They're going to say he was killed. So he examined it, the tunic. Remember, they dipped it in blood of goats. And said, "The tunic of my son, a cruel beast, hath devoured him, torn in pieces is Joseph." And remember, you can always put a Y wherever the J is. It would be more accurate to the words. And Jacob rent his garments and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned over his sons many days. I never could get the poor wives sewing. Hey, Ray, quit ripping your clothes.
Just put dirt on your head.
What does that have to do? Oh, yeah, by the way, I'm in here. Right here. Oh, give me another shirt. Don't put any more garments on. That's it. 35, and all his sons and all his daughters rose up to console him, but he refused to be consoled and said, "Surely I will go down unto my son, mourning to Sheol." This is Sheol, the first usage of Sheol. And his father wept for him. Sheol, you know, people are not alive, obviously. These existence happens, we don't know. Yahweh knew us before we were ever born. And it talks about that in Ephesians 1. And so guess what? He can do whatever he wants. And so when it comes to resurrection time, our memories, everything else is going to be sound, and he's going to pull us up. How he does it, I don't know. But we are earth people. We are from the land. We're not messengers, which we'll see. Now, another place of Sheol is Psalms 116.
You didn't say Joseph's in a better place.
Let's just go to Psalm 16 first. Yeah. Now, Joseph is in heaven.
Yahweh took him from me. Yeah. Put him in a better place.
He's in a better place. You know? And so it's just nonsense. But it's what they want to believe. And so if you want God you can see, you make Christ your God. And now I can put a statue, I can put a crucifix on, I got pictures of him, and now I got an image of my God, which is Jesus. And that's why they do it. I want a woman God. Who am I going to do?
Mary.
Mary the Moon. And so now I can see Mary and other women. And so I just create things. We know Haran did that. People want to see gods. Jeroboam did that. Made two other gods. So Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We got one verse. It's never done throughout the whole scripture. That's a whole other thing. But let's look at Sheol.
Eve didn't want to believe it either. That was the first trick. You're going to die. No, yeah. I don't want to believe it.
Yeah, that's right. And Yahweh says, "Dying thou shalt die." And instead of saying, "Dying thou shalt live."
Yeah. You should go to heaven.
And so that's a good point, though. That's back in Genesis 1. We're not going to go there. But according to them, Yahweh said to Adam and Eve, "When you die, your spirit leaves your body and goes immediately to heaven." That's a no-brainer. I want to eat of the tree. Because heaven's a better place than earth, right?
Right.
Okay, I get put right into heaven. Is this just insane that people even swallow this garbage? But 16, let's go 10 and 11. And this is what we know about Christ. What happened? Passover is next week, which will be on a Wednesday, which will be a great deal for you for teaching. Christ died and went to Sheol, where all dead people are. And here's the scripture. "For thou wilt not abandon my soul to Sheol." So whenever Rotherham puts the word Hades in the Old and New Covenant, it's the word Sheol. "Neither will thou suffer thy man of loving kindness to see corruption."
What verse are you in?
16, verse 10.
Psalm 16, not 116.
Yeah. Oh, you said 116.
Yeah, I said originally, but I said let's go to 16. Sorry. I changed it. And then we'll go to 116. The same. So Christ, the King James and the New King James are going to say he went to hell. There is, you know, we have teachings on that too. There's Sheol or there's the Valley of Hinnom. The word hell has no place in his books. It doesn't have it in the Rothram. It doesn't have the Youngs. The two words that they translate hell once in a while at their own discretion is Sheol, which is not a place of torment. All people go there, which we'll see. And it's not Gehenna, and that is the Valley of Hinnom, which is a physical place. It was representative of the lake of fire. But we're going to see it, 16:10. For thou wilt not abandon my soul to Sheol, neither will I suffer thy man of Hesed, that's loving kindness Hesed, to see corruption. Beyond the subject, loving kindness, now if you ask any, you know, this is about Hesed, change the subject for a minute. The difference between love and loving kindness, is there any difference? Try to explain loving kindness, and is that better than love? Can you have love without kindness?
Nope.
You know, so when you have loving kindness, like loving good, well, is loving not good? You know, I don't know. And so you have to say, they're not even related, so, you know, at least with Rotherham, loving kindness is the word hesed. They didn't know how to translate. We have an old teaching on that. And that is a covenant. That is an obligatory covenant between Yahweh and individuals if they keep the covenant. But loving kindness and love, you just missed everything. Because there's, can you explain the difference? I can't explain the difference. Can there be a love that's not kind? And so, this is a simple question. So that's the word hesed.
So are we in Psalm 6?
16. 1-6. Thou wilt cause me to know the path of life, fullness of joys before thee, pleasures at thy right hand evermore. Now we're going to 1:16. That's Sheol. Christ was in Sheol. He wasn't in hell. And he wasn't alive, flying around, doing things. He was asleep.
In the heart of the earth, 3 days and three nights.
Yeah, that's right. And we're going to see that, the heart of the earth. We're going to see another thing. Here's 1:16 about death and Sheol. So death and Sheol go hand in hand throughout the scriptures, from the Old Covenant and New Covenant. The Greek translated Sheol Hades, which is a god, and they translated mute, which is death, M-U-T-H, to Thanos. And that we see all the Marvel comics, and we got who?
Thanos.
He's a god. So now we've got Sheol and Mute become a god Hades and a god Thanos, which is, you know, you've got to realize that's what's happened. Now we go to 1:16, and which is very interesting on this, is in verse 15. The majority of every Bible is going to read, precious in the eyes of Yahweh is death for his men of loving kindness, or hesed. They're going to say the word precious. And so at a funeral, they'll say, when somebody dies, that's precious to God. Wow, is that sick or what? You know, we just had people murdered in Nashville. Children. Three adults and three children were murdered by a demonic individual, and you're going to say, precious was that to our Lord. Is that insane? How does Rothland translate it? Costly in the eyes of Yahweh is death for his men of Hesed, loving kindness. And we're going to say Psalms 1:16 has nothing to do with somebody dying. It has somebody who did not die, but lived. And that's why dying's costly to Yahweh. If you're dead, you can't do him any more good. If you're alive, you can do him a lot of good. So if you read 1:16, I love Yahweh because he heareth my voice, my supplications. Isn't that great? Because he hath bowed down his ear unto me. Therefore, throughout my life will I call. Now watch, I call. I call is over and over again. When they think this is Hezekiah, remember Hezekiah, Elijah came to him and said, get your house ready, you're going to die. And he started weeping, and as Elijah leaves, Yahweh says, go back. And he went back and said, you're not going to die, you got 15 more years. And so that's what I think this is the psalm from Hezekiah. The meshes of death encompassed me, and the distresses of Sheol, see, death and Sheol tied together, came upon me. This is not hell. Hezekiah was a good guy. Jacob was a good guy. People are not going to hell, but the King James and the New King James will not translate these hell, but the other ones they will. They'll say grave. Peril and sorrow I found, but on the name of Yahweh I called. Remember, I called. And I beseech you, Yahweh, deliver my soul. I want to go to heaven. Kill me. No. Gracious is Yahweh and righteous, and our Elohim is full of raham, compassion. Yahweh preserveth the simple. I was brought low when to me he granted salvation. Return, O my soul, to thy rest, for Yahweh hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast rescued my soul from what?
Death.
So this psalm is not about somebody dying and it's read at a funeral. It's somebody who was to die and did not die. Mine eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. Well, wait a minute here. I thought life was so bad. Look at this. Such a contradiction. The righteous man who dies is taken away from evil to enter into peace. That's what this man says. And he's in heaven. Wait a minute here. This says, for thou hast rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears. We should be tearing if you're going to heaven. Right? You should be celebrating. I hope I die tonight so I can be in heaven with Jesus. My feet from stumbling. It's just absolute contradiction what these people say. I will walk to and fro before Yahweh in the land of heaven.
Nope.
No, the lands of life. I believe that I should speak. I was greatly depressed. I said in my alarm, all men are false. How shall I give back to Yahweh all his benefits unto me? The cup of salvation will I lift, and on the name of Yahweh will I call. There you go. My vow to Yahweh will I pay. My it be in the presence of his people. Costly in the eyes of Yahweh is death for his men of Aset. I beseech you, O Yahweh, for I am thy servant. I am thy servant, the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. Bonds were death, sickness. To thee will I sacrifice a sacrifice of thanksgiving. On the name of Yahweh will I call. See, I will call. My vow to Yahweh will I pay. Might it be on the presence of his people. In the courts of the house of Yahweh, in the midst of the O Jerusalem, praise ye Yah. That is Sheol. Psalms 37 is real simple. If you go to Psalms 37, it tells all about, instead of heaven or hell, it talks about the new earth or perishing. So we know John 3:16 is, for Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, not go to hell, but have life. Not go to heaven, but have life, age abiding. Hell and heaven are not in that verse, and in their mind, every Christian has it in that verse. But we're going to look at what is happening with people. Who is in heaven? We know the people there. Who's not in heaven? Man is not in heaven. Otherwise, death would be our friend, and nobody wants to die. We resist, and you should resist it. It's a good doctrine of demons. To say, I go from the earth, and now I'm heavenly blessed. Well, why are you fighting so much? Let me help you. Strangle you. There's a law against that. 1 Thessalonians 4. Well, what is death? What happens to people, and they're called sleeping. We know that with Lazarus. When Lazarus died, he says, Lazarus is sleeping. We know that. It's sleeping. All the way through here, it's sleeping. That I may awake him. Here's what you show people. So, for people who want to go, where are the dead? They're not in heaven. Where do you go? Revelation is what chapter?
22.
No. Chapter, the ones we just covered. Revelation. Who's in heaven?
4, 5, and 6.
Yeah, who's in heaven?
Yahweh.
Revelation 4 and 5 tells us who's in heaven. Revelations 4 and 5 tells us who's in heaven and who's not in heaven. Regardless of the people have these dreams and visions and write books and make movies.
2 Timothy 4, you know,
yeah,
stories.
This is for itching ears. The heaven is for real, on and on and on and on. But here's where people are. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but we do not wish you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them who are in heaven. Right? That would be a good place. They're in heaven, guys. This is what all these guys say. No, they're sleeping. Wait a minute here, they're sleeping in heaven? Let's think of that concept.
They're going to put the word body in there.
So they're going to just throw out this whole paragraph. Lest you be sorry, even the rest also who are without hope. For if we believe that Jesus died, or Yahushua died and rose again, or stood up, and that's the word stood up for rose again, so also will Yahweh bring forth with him them who have fallen asleep through Yahushua. For this unto you we say by the word of Yahweh, that we the living, who are left unto the presence of the Lord, shall no wise get before them who have fallen asleep. Well, I thought they were in heaven. Because the Lord himself, with the word of command, with the chief messenger's voice, and with the trumpet of Yahweh, shall descend from heaven, and the dead, wait a minute here, the dead in Christ... There are no dead in Christ. They're all in heaven. They're alive in Christ. And alive in Christ.
Wait a minute.
It's the dead bodies. That's it. And the dead bodies in Christ shall rise first.
That's what they'll say.
Yeah, that's what they're always going to say. They've got to put the word body in here. And this is where the Apostles' Creed say, I believe in the resurrection of the body. There is no verse that says the resurrection of the body. It says the resurrection of what?
The dead.
Oop, slipped one right in there. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. After that, we are living, are left together with him, shall be caught away in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus evermore the Lord shall we be. Real simple. How did this all come about? It's a different gospel. 2 Corinthians 11:4. We'll kind of finish up. This is all, you know, we got a whole chapter on the resurrection and the dead. It's 1 Corinthians 15, completely torn out of people's bodies because it doesn't go with what they want to believe. 2 Corinthians 11:4.
Neither did Eve, that's verse 3. Eve didn't want to believe in death either.
If indeed he that cometh is proclaiming another Yahushua, whom we have not proclaimed, that would be God the Son, or of a different spirit you are receiving, that is, God the Holy Spirit, which you have not received. Paul never said anything about God the Holy Spirit. He never said anything about God the Son. Very easily to write that in words.
Right.
Or a different glad message, the dead are in heaven or hell. That's the different glad message, which ye have never welcomed, you are well bearing. And who are these people who are doing these things? Verse 13, for such as these are what?
False apostles,
deceitful workers, transfiguring themselves into apostles of who? Satan? No, they're apostles of Christ. And how do we know they're apostles of Satan? Apostles means sent. So Satan sends out his apostles, their sent ones, to deceive, and I know they can't deceive us because of this book.
Well, read 14.
Yeah, but once you leave this book, and no marvel, for Satan himself does transfigure himself into a red horn-held bean, with a tail that has a fork on it. No, he's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Messenger of light.
And like Aaron said, what is this all about? It's what people want to believe. And it makes complete sense. You know, so 2 Timothy 4:3-4, there will be a season when the healthful teachings they will not endure, but according to their own covetings will they heap unto them teachers, because they have itching ears and turn from the truth, they'll turn their ear unto stories. Mm-hmm. That's what they want. And that's what the people with Moses and Aharon wanted. They wanted gods. Jeroboam people wanted gods. We want gods. And so they have been created because the people want them. And so we'll
end there. Read the last verse there.
Read it.
No great thing, therefore, if his ministers, or Satan's ministers, also are transfiguring themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works.
Yeah, real simple, because we see, and this is people deceived, or they're not deceived. So that's Andrew Womack, that's the majority of all Christians when it comes to doctrine of the Trinity and the doctrine that that dying is a porthole to heaven. Now, dying is how I get to heaven, so I don't have to wait for Christ coming back. I just kill myself, and I'm put into heaven. Well, no, okay, let's say I can't kill myself, because the Catholic would say you got mortal sin, mm-hmm. I'm going to hell. Okay, so I want somebody else to kill me.
Tightrope walk.
Yeah, well, I could be. I'm going to a very bad neighborhood and have diamond jewelries on me and have cash on me. And they're going to kill me in the bad neighborhood, and I'm going to be put into heaven. And so, you know, as we know too, that means abortion puts babies into heaven. That's what these doctrines lead to. Just follow mm-hmm. it. You know, what kind of absolute wickedness is that? So follow the trail. So death is our enemy. And the only people are the only entities are in heaven. There's only one human being. His name is Yahushua. So we'll go ahead and hear from our Heavenly Father, according to prophecy, 1 Corinthians 14. Thank you, Father, for your word that guides us in the light and the truth. Thank you, Christ, for making it payable and giving us Ruach HaKodesh, making us holy that we can manifest this Ruach, this breath. And through you we come to our Father. Amen. Rejoice again, I say rejoice, in your standing and in your stay, because you are my children in whom I am well pleased, who I put as my ambassadors, my representatives, to proclaim to the world around you my words of truth. Amen.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen.